Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand. Today we're looking at a model for prayer. A model for prayer. Luke 11, 1 through 4. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the reading of your word. God, we ask and pray today that you would make us to where we are more disciplined to pray, that we will spend as much time with you as we possibly can, that our relationships with you, dear God, will be strengthened, that our lives, that we will grow spiritually, that we will produce the kind of fruit, Father God, that you want to see us bearing. Father, we pray that you will help us to be more obedient to your word and to walk living out your commandments, loving others and telling others about Jesus. Father, let this message I speak today come from you through your Holy Spirit. And we just thank you, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So one of the disciples had asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And that's exactly what Jesus did. And what can we learn from this exchange? First, that we must always maintain a teachable spirit. We have to maintain, that means we have to seek after and live each day to be teachable people. Basically, if we're going to be teachable, then we have to be able to absorb what's being said. We have to humble ourselves before God. We have to forget everything that's going on within our life. And we have to be willing, if we're going to be teachable, we have to be willing to do exactly what the Lord speaks to us. If we're going to be a teachable kind of people, we can't ask God to speak to our heart and our life and then say, "Okay, well, that sounds good," and then go out the door and live out our own will or our own thoughts and desires. It doesn't work that way. If we are going to be the type of people who live for Christ, then we have to receive from Him. How many of you ever went to school and loved to learn? Lord did. Well, I did. I still am. I'm a history buff. And man, anything I could ever dig learning about the history of this church, I've loved it. I was telling Laura yesterday, I was up praying in the pastor's office before the funeral, and I found one of the anniversary books, and I was flipping through, and there was more pictures, and I thought, wow, there's some really neat folks. And I thought, I wonder who these people were in life and what kind of a legacy did they live. But then I saw a Laura Lipe in there, and Laura's told me that was her great-grandmother. Good, I remembered that. At my age, it's hard to forget this. Or it's not hard to forget. But I started to soak up. But the more I enjoy history, I would love to go to class, and I would love to learn about the things that happened in America in years past. And yeah, that's exciting to me. But what's even more exciting is to learn about God's Word. It's not just history. it's also very present time today. God's word applies to every aspect of our lives. God's word applies to how we think, to how we feel, how we conduct ourselves, how we interact with each other, and how we grow in our life. And so in order for us to apply all of that, we have to be teachable. We have to be able to expand ourselves to receive from God day after day. And that doesn't mean, you know, if you pick up your Bible and just hurriedly flip through a chapter or two and then say, well, my Bible reading's done, you're not going to learn anything. But when you take God's word and you sit down, and here's what I like. Now, this is just how I do it. I'm not saying this is how you have to, but I like to take my Bible and hold it against my heart, and I ask God to help me to learn. I ask God to help me to receive His word, to give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, because I want to hear from Him. And there are times that I will read something and maybe right off the bat I don't understand it, but I allow myself to be taught by God, and He speaks to me through His Holy Spirit, and I will find something that helps me to understand God's word, and it makes my relationship with Him grow even sweeter. People have asked me from time to time, boy, you know, you're always so friendly, you're always smiling. I said, well, that's most of me, yes, most of the time, but I do have bad moments. Yes, I don't let them last, but I'm a human being, and when bad moments happen, they happen. But in order to be teachable, I have to know that when bad things happen, I've got to put it in the past, and I've got to set my eyes forward, and I have to keep going, and I have to keep trusting the Lord. My source of being taught when I was a child, thank God that I had a grandfather and a grandmother, pastor and pastor's wife, and all they ever wanted me to know was Jesus loved me, that I was special, that I mattered to the Lord, that He had good intentions for me, and that He wanted to give me a blessed life. And there were so many things that in His Word that my grandmother would share, and I used to love it. I would get a cassette tape in the mail from my grandma, and grandma and grandpa would be on there talking to us kids. Me, well, get my tongue out. It was just my sister and I, and she would have the Bible scripture, and they would buy me a Bible at Christmas time every so many years, and they would highlight scripture, and they would write the verses down in the front cover of the Bible. And I want to tell you this. I know that God placed these people in my life to help teach me. And you know what? I might be 22 years old. I'm just kidding. I might be an old fella, but I want to share this with you. I'm never done learning. I don't know it all. I love being taught. And God has placed people in my life. And yesterday, I was taught quite a bit. You know what I was taught yesterday? That love within the family is so important, and to maintain that bond. As we were standing in the cemetery yesterday, right after the graveside service was over, I just kind of stood around and observed for a moment, because I like to observe people, and I like to kind of draw in what's happening around me. You know what I saw a lot of? I saw a lot of people hugging. I saw a lot of people reminiscing, and I heard conversations. But you know what I saw out of all that was a lot of love. And I learned a lot yesterday about keeping the bonds of love tight within the family. And how do you do that? You keep God first within your family, and you honor God with your life, and you are going to learn a lot of things from the Lord. So we always have to be teachable. Secondly, we have to give thanks that we have a Father who loves you. Oh, I love this, right? This, boy, I could just preach for 2 days on that right there, how much God loves us. Do you know how much the Bible states that God is love and that God loves us? For God so loved the world that He gave His only, that means one, His only begotten Son, which means God cherished that Son so much, but He loved you and I so deeply that He sent His Son that knew no sin to become sin for you and I. Now, I want you to think about that love. Now, could you, if you had a child, could you send your child to die for somebody else? Would you send your child to die for somebody else? I think that's one that a lot of people would probably sit there and think about it for a while. With God's love, it didn't take Him very long to decide. He knew. See, God didn't want us to end up in hell. God didn't want us to spend eternity separated from Him. And for God to love us like that, you know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to stay in fellowship with Him. It makes me want to lean on Him in the tough times. It makes me want to get out of bed in the morning and pray. If God loves us and we say that we love God, then it should be reflected in our life. If He is light, then there should be no darkness in us at all. That love ought to be radiated. And I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. I could encounter somebody, and I have before, people that haven't bathed in maybe a week, haven't used deodorant in a week, and some folks would want to push them out of the way and get them out of their sight because they smell. I have in past times wrapped my arms around these people because they wanted a hug. They wanted somebody to love them. And I tell you what I learned out of that it didn't take very much for me to want to love these people because God was pushing me. God was telling me, I brought this person to you because they need to be ministered to. Do you know how powerful a hug is? Does anybody know how powerful a hug is? Oh, they say that one hug just does so much for the brain. How many of you like to hug? Oh, I see some hands going up. I know some folks are saying, now don't get near me. I don't want to hug you. Don't get in my, and you know, and I'm not going to judge nobody. That's how people feel, and that's okay. But I pray and I hope that we will all learn as God's people and as Christians that we'll start to love. And you know what? And if you're not a hugger, then you can show love in other ways. You can show love through service. You can show love by teaching. But for God to love us and give us His only Son, I mean, and we have that model of Jesus. What was Jesus spending a lot of time doing when He wasn't ministering and teaching? He was praying. And why did Jesus pray so much? Because He wanted to do and know His Father's will. That's what Jesus was all about. Jesus wasn't about Himself. He was about, and He said this to many people, I am about my Father's business. God sent Him here, and oh, I'm so thankful. And I tell you what, I have to mention this. When Kristen was giving the tribute to her grandpa yesterday, and she talked about the love that Gene had for folks, I experienced that love many a time. Every time I'd go over that house, he'd stand right up out of that chair. Now, he didn't do it when I first, first few, but when he got to know me, oh, man, I always got a hug out of him and Joy. And I started thinking about that Gene Sanders, he was a reflection of God's love. Because his family talked about it. And you know how you know it's at work in your life? When others notice it. Others notice every little thing about us, even when we aren't thinking that they know. People see us. A lot of people can read us. And I really think it's so important that every chance we get in life, that we share the love of the Father. Because sometimes folks won't get to come to church. They'll never step foot in the door. They'll never read the Bible. But you know how they'll get Christ's love? When they have an encounter with you or myself. That's what it's all about. Thirdly, we have to make the glory of God our priority. And when Jesus said in verse 2, he said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. It's all about God. We have to give God the glory for everything. And I never mean to be, I'm never trying to be mean or hate or anything. But somebody come, man, Brother Jim, that was a great message. I love how you preach that. I go, no, I'm sorry. I don't take any credit for that. And I'm not being rude. I'm honestly, God gets the glory for it all. I don't get any credit. Because I ask God to speak through me, through His Holy Spirit. So I don't want anybody to ever point the finger. And when I'm dead and gone, I don't want anybody to say, boy, he was a great preacher. No. I just want people to know that I loved them. That's what I want people to know about me. I want people to say about me, he certainly loved those that was around him. But we have to give God glory, and it has to be first priority in all things of life. Do you know that when you start to give God glory and honor and praise, do you know that it excites Him? It moves God. But when we murmur and complain, and when we're negative, and when we're not fellowshipping with Him, God is not going to move. He's not. But when we finally get to the place where we decide to get down on our knees, and from our hearts and our spirits, we worship Him. We let Him know that we can't make it through life without Him. That we thirst for Him. That He's the only one who can quench that thirst. You know, when we glorify God in every step of the way, then God's going to move and God's going to pour Himself out into our life. And God will do things within you that you never thought possible. Let me back up to high school. I may have said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I was an introvert. I didn't like people. I didn't want nobody to touch me. I didn't want nobody around me. I had three, maybe four really close friends that I think they were like me, but we just all clicked together. And that's how I went through my life. And now my plan was I was going to go to the law enforcement academy, be a state cop, and work all these years, and I was going to retire, and that was going to be my life. That I had this plan. Well, not knowing that when I turned 19 years old, Jesus Christ was going to come into my heart and life and become my Lord and Savior, and how He set a whole different course and a different path for me. And then all of a sudden, that backward introverted guy that didn't like nobody is starting to go into pulpits and preach in churches. And get this, now people would come up and go, well, brother, and I go, hey, how are you? You know, I'd want to shake your hand. That just kind of how it was. But it didn't take long that the more I started to give all of my attention to God, that He started to help me get past the barriers and the barricades that I put out, the walls that were in front of me. He started to break all of those things down, and God started to help me fellowship with others. And see, now everybody, God's created everybody different. Even twins. Do you know that twins, even though they look alike? Now, Keith and Orly's daughters, they are identical pretty much. But do you know they got different fingerprints? They have different behaviors. They have different attitudes, personalities. They're different. That's how great God is, that He made each and every one of us so different and for a purpose. And He's put inside all of us a spiritual gift or gifts and things that He wants to use for His honor and His glory. And all He wants us to do is come before Him with a humble heart and say, all right, Father, let's do it Your way. That's what Jesus did. Jesus glorified God in everything. He glorified God with every person that encountered Him or people who came against Him. He glorified God and He loved others. And look what God did in the ministry of Jesus. And then He went and hung on a cross and took our sins upon Himself and bled and died. And you know what? So many people today need that. We've got to glorify God in our churches. We need to glorify God. What we're doing in church, we need to do it within our homes. We need to let our kids hear it. We need to let our parents see it. We need to let all our friends see who you are in church. They need to see the same thing outside of these four walls. They need to see a person that glorifies God and makes it a priority. I think I told you last Sunday or Sunday before, when my grandparents, when I'd stay with them, every morning, my grandfather had a Bible out, and they'd have the cereal and the milk out, but it was Bible. We took of this word first. This was our most important food of the morning. And Grandpa would sit there and read out of the Bible, and he did it with such love and compassion. And I just saw the Spirit of God flow out of him. And it never really dawned on me till I got saved that that's what I wanted. I didn't want to be this guy that I used to be. I wanted to be so much more. Somebody came up to me yesterday and said, you know what? They said, I've come to realize that these little churches, there's more love in them. There's so much love in them. And so I made this statement to them. I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, when I started pastoring, I was young and dumb, and I wanted a big church. God, give me a big church. I want You to give me a perfect church, and I want it to already be full. Because I wanted this smooth, paved path for my pastoral future. That's what I wanted. Well, God gave me a big church, and you know what that church was full of? Trouble. And those folks did not want to come out of trouble. They didn't. There were some folks good in there. Well, you know what? Let me say this back. Let me retract that statement. Everybody in that church was good. Just the devil was working in the hearts and lives of some of them, and they didn't want to change. And when I got into that big church, you know what? I stood there. I looked around thinking, What am I gaining here? What am I gaining? Nothing. And I started praying, God, I want you to put me back into a little church again. I want to preach in the country churches. But I told this person in that back hallway yesterday, I said, I've been many places, but I said, I ain't never been loved on like I've been loved on at this little church. I said, you look at how long it's been here, and you look at how long it's going to stay here. I said, everybody here gives of their self in some way to do for other people. And to see the crowd, I don't know that we were even, well, we might have had just a couple empty seats, but not many. This place was packed yesterday with folks who came out of love. And that was the greatest witness I'd ever experienced. And then lastly, we have to make the will of God our purpose. Not your will, not my will. See, if I come into this church and I put down one of them iron fists and said, all right, this is how we're going to do it. I've got a plan. It's going to be my way or the highway. How long do you think that's going to last? There you go. That's what's going to happen real quick. If I come into this church and said, all right, we're going to love together. We're going to pray together. We're going to serve together. We're going to do God's will. And when troubles arise, we're going to pray together about it. We're not going to act like kids in nursery school and get mad and quarrel and fuss and fight and spit and hack at each other. We're going to stand together and we are going to do God's will together here. We're going to seek to make this church grow together, because you know what happens? It happens in every church. We all age, and you know what you have to keep a church going? You got to have more families coming in. And you know what I believe for right here at Boscadale Baptist Church? I was upstairs yesterday, and I went to pray, and as I come back downstairs, this kind of hit me. I firmly believe that we need to start praying to fill up those Sunday school rooms. And in order to do that, we need to get them Sunday school rooms ready. Amen? Amen. If a farmer is going to have a crop, what does he have to do? Well, he can't stand there and look at what he harvested last year and says, well, If I stand here, maybe something will grow. No, he has to get out there and prepare his field. And why does he prepare the field? To receive the rain. And to nurture the seed that he planted. God's planted good seed in this church. Now we need to prepare the field and get ready to receive the rain that God wants to send at Boscadale Baptist Church. And I believe that now I took a look behind that curtain yesterday. That baptistry is empty. You know what it needs in it? It needs water. And it needs people being baptized because they want to follow Christ and they want to come to a church where Christ is loved and adored and His will is done. And we need kids and young people and young adults in these Sunday school rooms. We don't need to come here at 10:30. I believe we should be here at 9:30 again having Sunday school. Man, over the years has been altering our churches and how we do things. And we used to have Sunday school, morning service, night service, Wednesday night Bible study. And man has made it to a point that we go to church on Sunday morning. There's no longer church buses and church vans because man has started doing everything their own way. And here's what I don't like in churches. You get a bunch of people who get together and say that they're forming either a council or they're going to form some kind of a leadership panel. And the pastor has to come and answer to them, and they run everything in the church. I don't agree with that. I do not. Every single one of us that are in this church, we're in it together. We're on the same level, and we're doing it God's way. We take everything before God. He's the head of the church. You and I are the church, not this building. This is just a gathering place of worship. We're the church. That's what we are. And God's the head. We're the body. We need to let the one who's the head be in control of everything that goes on. Not man. Now, I told you before, I had served in a church where the deacons, those six men sat down and said, "You're going to report to us. You're going to do what we say." I said, "No, I'm not." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "That's exactly what I mean." "Well, the last pastor did." I don't care what the last pastor did. "Well, we didn't know it was going to be like this when we hired you." Well, I'm sorry, but I answer to God. He's the authority. And well, things didn't go very well. They didn't like that. And I started praying, "God, get me out of here." Boy, did he ever. It wasn't good. But well, that's just a story I'm not going to get into right now. But anyway. But if we depend on God to provide for our needs, He will supply our daily necessities. He will help us to learn to love. He will help us to have grace and mercy toward others. He will teach us about forgiveness. And He gives us His guidance and protection. Wow. That's what I love about the Lord. So see, if we do all that, if we pray, but we have to start with prayer. And we have to ask the Father for His will and everything to be done His way. You know what? We do it that way, everything's going to fall into place just perfect. There's never a perfect church because you and I will not be perfect until we cross into heaven. That's when we're perfect. But I'll tell you this, I don't care how imperfect we are on the face of this earth, I love each and every one of you. Some of you might say, "Well, you don't know me that well." I don't care. I still love you. And I'm going to love you, and you can't stop me from loving you. You might try, but I'm not going to quit loving you. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm here for you. You can call me. If you need somebody to talk to, if it's 3 in the morning and you need prayer, we'll pray together. And if we have to talk a while, we'll do it. I don't mind losing sleep to help somebody else who's in need. That's the kind of man I want to be for the Lord. That's the kind of man I want to be for the Lord. What kind of a Christian do you want to be for the Lord? What kind of a Christian do you want to be today? It all starts with prayer. Because you know what? When you start to pray, you start to seek God, guess what? Your life is going to change for the better.